anxiety or worry in your life, Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living. Thank you for being a part of the show. We're picking up from last week. Boy, our lines were so busy as we're talking about the fact that anxiety and worry is an epidemic in our culture today, especially for younger people. In fact, those who are kind of below the age of 25, 139% increase in reported anxiety since 2010. And it appears to be in direct proportion to the introduction of what's been going on in social media. And of course, we hear a lot about that today. And the older we become, the less the increase has been in anxiety. And those over 50, not so much at all. It's interesting. So while the show today isn't really talking about social media, it certainly contributes to the problem of anxiety and worry in our lives. And so we're talking about practical things that you do and can do as a follower of Christ to deal with worry. Listen, the Bible, by the way, I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living. Randy Carlson, along with Jennifer, and Amy's helping out today again. Thank you, Amy, for your help. And we're talking about worry. The Bible's very clear. You know, the Apostle Paul tells young Timothy in the book of Timothy, listen, be anxious for nothing. Nothing. And you think, well, how's that possible? I mean, we live in a world upside down. But in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Then the peace will come. So there's a formula there that we often teach and help people as Christians to put into practice. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, don't worry about your life. He goes on to say, how can worry even add a single moment to your life? Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will have enough trouble of its own. Boy, that's wisdom. We look at Solomon in Proverbs. Worry weighs a person down, Proverbs 12. You work and worry your way through life, and what do you have to show for it? Ecclesiastes 2. And I'm preaching to myself, too, because I worry, but I'd say, well, I'm more of a concerned person. I'm just concerned. But, you know, I'm just concerned for my kids and grandkids. Until you get a gut ache because you're worried about something, right? And here's the deal. Outside of our little circle of control, we should be concerned to have some influence, concern in a positive way. But when we worry about things we have no control over, it just eats us up. And so that's really what we're trying to do today. Just give you some really practical things as followers of Christ that we can do. Reading scripture. We've heard about exercise. Reading the Bible, of course, and prayer. Being around support group. Animals came up a couple times, you know, having that kind of positive interaction, that's healthy. That's great. What other things? I'd love to have you join in and be a part of it on our comment line, 888-888-1717. Let's go to Marilyn, our first call. Go right ahead.
Hey, Dr. Randy. This is Terry. I'm calling from Columbiaville, Michigan. I wanted to comment about anxiety and let you know that I too suffered with that, and it was about a five-year battle that I'm just basically coming out of over the last 6-8 months. And the one thing that really brought me out of it was listening to your program one day, and it was probably 2 years into it, and you started talking about the one thing, and that just stuck in my mind, and I found myself making myself do one thing every day that I didn't want to do, however small it was, whether it was going to the gas station to get gas. I made myself do something every day, no matter how small, that I didn't want to do because of anxiety. And after a period of about 2 years, it's pretty much gone. There are still some lingering effects of it, which your mind will probably never forget, but that is the path I took. I tried medication. It didn't work. I tried counseling. But a lot of prayer and making yourself get up and do things that you would normally just want to not do.
Listen, one thing at a time. Man, thank you, Terry, for sharing, not from Maryland, by the way, but from Michigan. And I asked Terry to start the show today because he really sets the stage of what intentional living is all about. It's very easy in this media-saturated culture to get so much coming in from TikTok and other forms of media. Come on. That we don't ever feel like we measure up because we should be doing this, we should be doing that, we should be doing the other thing, and there's 50 things we should do. And we at Intentional Living believe if you just hang on to one thing and start it, one thing you know that's going to make a difference, that's why we're giving you some things today. maybe for you, it's saying, hey, I'm going to just every day take that idea of an exercise and get up and start exercising. When I do, I'm going to read scripture, listen to Christian music, let God fill my heart. That's going to be my one thing for the next 30 days until it becomes a new habit. Or getting up and reading scripture every day. Or every day making sure I make prayer as a priority. Whatever it may be, but as you grow your spirit, grow your relationship, to deal with that anxiety in your life can be a powerful thing. If you got a comment, share it with us at 888-888-1717. I'll be right back. We'll get to some more calls on Dealing with Worry.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. We've all been there. You have a difficult decision, and you want to know God's will, but where do you start?
I believe that God's will is not nebulous or vague. It's all revealed for you and for me in His Word. To know and live in God's will, you must know and apply the Bible to every situation.
In Dr. Randy's teaching titled, Finding God's Will, he discusses some practical ways you can know what God's will is for your life. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message, along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, your support's making a difference. Thank you. God bless you. And as we get into this brand new week in this month, wow, I can't believe it. We're getting close to wrapping up another month. Summer's almost over, which will be nice when it's 110 degrees in Arizona. We're looking forward to that. But I just want to say thank you for your support and invite you to join us in this mission together. People need the Lord. People need to know that when they accept Christ, they have the power of the Holy Spirit in their life, and they can now, if they choose to, be intentional in their walk with Him. Not perfection, by the way, but it's really a process of growing. It's sometimes called discipleship, but it's obedience. What's the next right one thing? And intentional living is all about the practicality of growing our faith and maturing in that walk with Him, seeing marriages saved, families encouraged, young people making better decisions, and you're helping make it all possible. Thank you. When you go to theintentionallife.com, click on donate, theintentionallife.com, little donate icon, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. And God bless you. Thank you for your support.
Hello, Dr. Randy. This is Joan, and my husband and I are mother and father of four children. Three of them were in the Marine Corps and deployed. So that is when I really had no control over anything. And I prayed, and God really protected them. And the last month of the oldest son's deployment in Afghanistan, they were on a hill and blew up their truck with an IED. They were carrying 750 gallons of fuel, and it hit him at the fuel tank. And it went up and knocked it over, but it did not explode into fire. And my son knows now and tells his other Marines, my mom prayed, and that is what saved us. And you know what? I know it's true.
Amen. Prayer is a great starting point, isn't it? And by the way, we shouldn't just think about prayer when we got a big problem, which I think many times we do. But if we make prayer life a regular, ongoing part of our daily life, it's kind of building those spiritual muscles, preparing for the day when we got to do a little lifting, right? A little spiritual lifting when things come along and getting ready for it. All right, let's get to the calls. Veronica in Florida. So how you doing today?
In the past, I haven't done very well. I've been, I think I'm the poster child for worry. But lately, I've embraced a concept that I read in a book, and it said to write down 5 positive things for every worry that you have. So I started embracing that and actually started writing down. And I mean, obviously, if I'm driving or I'm out and about and I can't do that, I, you know, mentally take the notes. So for example, I had a lot of trouble with trying to conceive again. And I'm going to be 40 soon, and I almost gave up. And the whole infertility was very challenging. So every time the worry would come over me, like, it's not going to happen, it's not going to, you know, so many things can go wrong, I would sit down and write the 5 truths. Like, number one, a doctor hasn't told me I couldn't have any. For example, another one is, I'm still in childbearing years. Another one, God's in control. And every of my 5 positive truths, I'd always say God is in control. And so on. So that's how I would face my worry. And it seemed like the truth would overcome that worry and kind of make it seem less of a giant, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Now, you're in Florida. Where in Florida are you today?
Panama City.
Panama City. Well, you guys have been through it. I mean, you went through that the hurricane.
Oh yes. We're still rebuilding our house.
That's right. A lot, and you're still rebuilding.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. We lived in a camper for quite some time.
Wow. So, at this point, are you back in your house, or are you still in the camper?
Oh no, we're definitely back in the house. And at one point, we had 6 kids in a camper. It was a nice big, don't get me wrong, we were glamping it and we had the 2-bedroom and all that, but it was still miserable. But yeah, we're back in our house. Yeah. And slowly trying to finish it.
Yeah, well, good for you. Listen, I know it's that was a while ago, but I know some are still recovering from the storms that continue to ravage different parts of the country. Certainly can create fear and about what's going to happen, for sure. But what you're doing is fantastic. You're replacing fear, which is a liar, by the way. Isn't that the song that's like number 1 or 2 on Christian radio, certainly on Family Life Radio? It's right there at the top. Fear, you're a liar. Because we want to replace fear with the truth. The Bible says, whatever is true and right and admirable and praiseworthy and of good report, think on such things. Paul also says, take captive every thought out of obedience to Christ. Your thinking can be stinking. And your thinking can get you into a pothole. I call it pothole thinking. And you get stuck in a pothole. And so telling yourself the truth is certainly part of this process of dealing with worry and anxiety. All right, great advice. Thank you, Veronica. Appreciate it. Let's go to, Charles in Kansas. My friend, how do you deal with worry?
I'm a retired preschool teacher, and I took a styrofoam cup and wrote from me to Jesus on one side, and then on the other side from Jesus to me, and put the worry in the cup. But the cup reminds me that giving something to God means waiting for the answer. If you give it to God and expect nothing from Him, then you likely get nothing. But if you wait for the second half of the prayer, the part where God talks to you, then your worries just melt away into His hands, and He helps you solve every problem that comes along. And it kind of started, I read a book by Charles Stanley, and he said, the secret to my life has been learning to listen to God at an early age. And so if you have a choice with worry, you can listen to God, or you can listen to your worries.
Mm-hmm. That's true. In fact, one of the things we know psychologically about worry is that the further we get away from this moment in time, worry or regret increase. Going into the past, regret. Going into the future is worry. That's why it's important to live today, this moment. As Paul says, forgetting what's behind, I press toward the goal, but I do it today. You know, today is important. Today matters. And frankly, today is all we have. We don't know about tomorrow. We could be in heaven tomorrow. We can't go back to yesterday. That's gone, but we do have today. I mean, we know that. I mean, that's obvious. But do we live that way? Prayer. Back to that topic. Marguerite from Arizona, what have you learned about prayer?
I think what I've learned is my husband really helps me, and he's a very wise man, so I'm grateful for that. But he'll remind me that worry is not from God. And so if I think about that, and he'll say, if you're worrying, what are you doing? You need to stop and pray. So when I think about that, it certainly helps me a lot.
Do you find there's certain areas that you worry about more than others, family or finances? Is there one area that tends to kind of grab your head and you're thinking?
Gosh, good question. I'm a family nurse practitioner, so certainly a lot happening. But no, maybe just in general, I do co-parents, and so that I think, you know, co-parenting is very stressful, and I worry about that sometimes. Mm-hmm. So that's probably one of my more worrying things.
Yeah, well, I understand that. Listen, when you talk about just a moment with parents, you guys worry about your kids and your grandkids. I get it. I really encourage, if you worry about something, do what you can. Sometimes just getting up and doing something. If you're worried, let's say you're worried about your finances, well, do something about it. Get up and do what you can do. Change your spending habits. Stop using the credit card. Sit down with your spouse. Put a budget together. Whatever. Do something. Worry is not going to get you anywhere. Now, there's things you can't. The things you worry about, you have no control over. You and I have no control what's going on in Israel, going on in Ukraine today. We can pray, and we should, and we should be concerned, and we should do what we can to support, you know, the efforts of peace, right? But beyond that, and of course, that's an extreme example, but there's between that extreme and what you do have control over, there are things you're concerned about you don't have control over. But we do need to get up and say, Lord, what one thing can I do today? What one thing should I do today that would make the single biggest difference with the thing that I worry about? And it may be the one thing I'm going to do is give it to you and pray and leave it there. Or it may be that I'm going to do one thing that I have control over. All right, Bobby, you're next in Michigan, I think. Looks like you have a story. What is it?
I have learned to, instead of staying focused, almost hyper-focused on what my issue is now, to just reflect back and remember of all the success stories I have of when the Lord has helped me through difficult times or struggles in the past. He's been faithful before. He'll be faithful now.
Do you wrestle with this, though? Has this been an issue, worry?
Occasionally. And I also just focus on the scripture that, you know, as you said, we are not to let worry be a part of our life. So I do just try to, with open hands, just give all my cares and worries to the Lord and remember that He's helped in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why memorization of scripture can be such an important part of this process. You know, for me, I'm a worry wart mostly about everything. And that's because, listen, just being transparent, it's because I've got a high C problem. Control. I like to drive. I don't like to be in the passenger. That's one of the indications. And my wife's a great driver, but I'll tell you, I'd rather be, no, I won't go there. But listen, I'm a high control, and you know, that can be used to advantage. Things you can control, get things done, let's go, let's get it done. But then what happens is, it's easy then to start feeling like you're in charge of everything and control of everything and all the outcomes. And you have control maybe what you do, but you don't have control of what the outcome is going to be. And so we worry about things, again, repeating myself here, about things that we don't have much or any control over. All right, let's go to Emmanuel in Michigan. My friend, how are you dealing with worry?
Well, there's... There's always a lot to worry about when we let it, for sure. My wife and I have four kids, and she has a full-time job. She's doing a master's degree, and I manage a business from home with her parents. It could be very easy to get consumed with worry, for sure. So one of the things that I've been working on and have done is I found that the best way to deal with my worries is to it sounds so simple, but to just be prepared. The more prepared I am in different situations, the less those situations have an opportunity to bring worry into my life.
So you sort of think about it in advance. You're prepared for whatever the next event is.
As best as I can. And of course, no condemnation, but there's always going to be the time that the car breaks down.
Mm-hmm.
It's always going to be the time that my adoptive daughter has a traumatic flashback, and I'm not going to be prepared. Not in the sense to prevent that, but so then mm-hmm. to be prepared in my spirit and in my walk with Christ, to have those scriptures shored up.
Is there a go-to verse that you have?
There's a bunch of them. I've always gone to Psalms 91 is great for those that are dealing with fear. I've used that a number of times, especially with my daughter, and Philippians 4, Psalms 91. I can't think of where it's at right now, but we're not given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind.
Because you know what I think? I think that most Christians, we really don't seek it enough. We really don't stop and ask the question, is this God's will for my life? For many believers, God's will, I think, is seen as being something very mystical, something that's somehow obscure or far away, too difficult to easily perceive, to comprehend, and to apply to our lives. You know, but nothing could be further from the truth. God's will for whatever it is you're facing today, whatever decisions you're trying to make, is very much within your grasp. In Jeremiah 29:11, you read, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." You know, I really believe God has a wonderful purpose for your life. The trick is to be able to tap into it and put it into motion.
That's an excerpt from the lesson this month on finding and really living and embracing and being intentional with God's will for your life. And the entire lesson is up on our website at theintentionallife.com, where you can get it, share it with others. I encourage you to do that. Spread the good news, okay? Let's get the kind of good news that needs to get out into a saturated, media-saturated world. Get it out there, and we make it available so that can be done. And it's made available because of the financial support of, frankly, so many wonderful people, young and old, singles, businesses, couples, people who give large amounts sometimes. Someone give $1,000 or $5,000 because they've been blessed, but most about a dollar a day, $30 a month or so. So can I just ask you to come and join me and my wife? We support regularly because we appreciate what God's doing through the ministry to be a part of it. And we invite you to join us in the mission. You can call us during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com. All right, let me see, Renee in Arizona. Appreciate your call. What's the one thing you're doing when worry hits your life?
So for me, it's just to wake up every day with a grateful heart. Just to be grateful for every single thing that God has given me. Yes, the roof over my head, but more so my children, my husband, who is an amazing man of God, and my church family, and just the God I serve.
Yeah.
Who else asks us to bring like all of our burdens and just lay them at his feet? Just come and dump them in a wheelbarrow. And I literally picture taking each one of whatever I'm worried about in my prayer closet and just dumping it at his feet and saying, like, you have to take care of it because I can't do anything.
That's great. Did you have to make a decision to do that, or is that sort of the way you're wired?
No, I had to make a decision. I am not wired like that at all. We do have a daughter that suffered a catastrophic brain bleed. Things like that kind of shake you, but that's where the rubber meets the road. And it was just a moment in time where it was like either he is God or he's not.
So you had a moment. What was the moment? Was there a day? Can you go back and remember the moment you decided, hey, this is the path we're going to start living in a more thankful?
Yeah, again, just standing at the bedside of my 9-year-old when they were telling me that we had 40 minutes left with her. That was it. And just my whole world shaking and seeming like everything stopped and slowed down. And at the end of the day, I'm facing what I think every parent, like it would be their nightmare. But it ended up being such a blessing because it was like, at that moment, either he's God or he's not. And every single worry since then does not plague me. And she lived. God is an amazing, amazing God. Mm. And she lived. She graduated high school, 19 years old now, living miracle by the grace of God. But at that moment, whether I lost her and she was living free and happy with God, or whether she came back to us and was living happy with us, it was okay. because I realized I couldn't do anything about the things I worry about.
Yeah. Listen, I'll tell you what, that's been a theme of both of these shows, this one and the one from last week. If you missed it, it's up there on our website. We come back to this thing we can't control. Control we can't control, we give it to God, right? Obviously, everything is in His hands. But there's one thing I don't think has come up that I'd like to close with, and it's really in Philippians chapter 4, 6 in the New Living Translation, where Paul says, hey, listen, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And then I like how the NLT puts it. It says, tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He's done. And I talked to someone about this topic, and they said every morning what they do to deal with worry and anxiety in their life is to get up with gratitude, which I think is a great way to close the show today. Man, we have so many blessings. My wife and I, when we pray, always say, Lord, thank you for so much. We are blessed beyond measure. And I think that's a great way to really wrap up today's show. Got time for one more call. Go right ahead.
Hi, my name is Sherry, and I live in Sun City, Arizona. I've always been kind of a type A personality, wanting to be organized and following through and seeing the details and so forth. And this year, I've been having some problems where I'm living and needing to move back to another town and trying to organize and call the right people and do the right things was really giving me anxiety and stress. So I kept praying about it for God to give me peace and direction and that I would trust Him. And I would catch myself again trying to manage everything. And I remembered a line in a movie. The gentleman said to the other partner, no, you stay here and let God fight for you. And so I remind myself of that each time I try to get a little too micromanaging with my situation. And it's made such a difference. I really see the Lord's favor working in my situation. And I'm very grateful that I'm able to reach out to Him and He understands.
What a great way to wrap up the show today. Listen, I love your feedback. How can we pray with you? What have you learned? What is God teaching you? Come to our website. We've got prayer ministry available to you. We've got chaplains that'd be happy to pray with you about the needs in your life. And lots of resources and all of this at theintentionallife.com. My name is Randy Carlson, and here with me today is Jennifer and Amy. Thank you, ladies, for your work and helping us here, and continue to pray for Stephen, his recovery from surgery. He'll be back soon. And I'll be back tomorrow. We'll see you then with more Intentional Living. Have a great day.